Good morning. Happy New Year to all of you. A number of years ago, I read a book by Pierre Burton. It was called Niagara. He tells the story of an event that took place in the middle of the 19th century. It was a rare phenomenon when Niagara Falls actually stopped. The water stopped flowing over the falls. It was the middle of the 19th century. It's the only time that Niagara Falls has ever come to a complete stop. And during the day, what happened in the city of Niagara Falls was that fear turned into panic, and churches were packed with people sure that the end of the world was near. What had happened was strong winds had moved a mammoth ice dam on Lake Erie into the mouth of the Niagara River, right there at Fort Erie and Buffalo. And so due to this ice dam, no water could move into the river, and as a result, no water flowed over the falls for more than 30 hours. But the sudden change in that very reliable waterway caused widespread fear and panic. Unexplained change can cause people to panic. When unplanned and unexplained change happens in our life, we typically react in one of three ways. We resent it, or we resist it, or we run from it. But each of those responses causes stress in our life. So as we begin a new year, I want to talk about how we can deal with the unexplained and the unplanned changes that you will face in 2016. I know that in the year ahead, you are going to face some unplanned and some unexplained changes in your relationships and in your health and in your career and in your education and in your finances and many other parts of your life. I want to talk about how to deal with the stress of change. How do you handle when you have to let go of some things, some old things, and you have to grab on to some new things, new habits, new technology, changes like that? What are you supposed to do? I've noticed that there are three changes taking place in Canada that are causing a great deal of anxiety, a great deal of stress, a great deal of tension for people. It's underlying a lot of what we do. So I'd like to identify those things this morning, and then I want to talk about what God has to say about how we deal with the stress of those changes. Three things that cause stress. Number one, everything is moving faster. The pace of modern life is speeding up. Would you agree with me on that? Technology's done that to us, but there's a lot of other things that have contributed too. Progress, in general, it always causes things to go faster. Progress has never slowed down anything except the death process. Now it takes longer to die because of technology, but everything else is speeding up. Albert Hubbard said, "The world is moving so fast these days that the person who says it can't be done is generally interrupted by someone doing it." And the problem is that the faster you go, the blurrier things get. That's just a principle of life. Speed creates stress. So when the pace of your life is so fast, life becomes a blur, you start to lose your focus. Sometimes you just have to downshift a little. Sometimes you have to just slow down a little so that you can focus because everything's just becoming a blur. So the speed of modern life causes anxiety and stress in our lives. I just figured out Instagram and now it's passé. And what's coming this year, right? Those kinds of things. Number two, every decision is becoming more complicated. So even simple decisions become very complicated in our lives. Now, there are a couple of reasons for this. One, technology has connected everything. So the world has gotten smaller. So the things that happen on the other side of the world, decisions that happen on the other side of the world, they affect my life today. So when the Greek economy craters, our economy has a backlash. You know, when the terrorist group ISIS starts a new phase of their war, you know, we're talking about it by dinner time because we're so connected. So with mobile technology, with the internet, the world is much more intertwined and much more interconnected. So the things that happen in other places affect my life today. That wouldn't have been the case years ago. Often we just didn't know about it, or we knew about it much later. But more than that, the real reason life's become more complicated is that we're inundated with choices. We're swimming in a world of multiple choice. A while ago, I had to go to Shoppers Drug Mart, and I went there to buy shaving cream. So I looked at the shaving cream, and there was like 27 types of shaving cream. And I'm thinking, which one is for me? I mean, there's normal skin, there's fragrance-free, there's tough beard, there's regular skin conditioning, sensitive skin, methanol, medicated, extra moisturizing, extra protection, extra soothing. I just need some shaving cream. I bought the one that was cheapest. But there's so many choices. Then anyways, I need some razor blades. And there's like 27 varieties of razor blades. There's only two in my books, Dull and Sharp. So then I go over a couple hours and I'm looking at cough syrup. You know, I've heard about Tri-Aminic cough syrup. Have you heard of that? So I look and you could get Tri-Aminic AM and you could get Tri-Aminic PM. That makes some sense to me, morning, evening, right? But then there's Tri-Aminic DM. I don't even know what that is. Then there's Tri-Aminic regular, Tri-Aminic infant, Tri-Aminic cold and allergy, Tri-Aminic cough and cold, Tri-Aminic chest and head, Tri-Aminic throat pain and cough, Tri-Aminic severe colon fever. Why is life so complicated? Because we're inundated with choices. Not only is everything moving faster and every decision is getting more complicated, but there's a third thing that's causing great stress for people. Every value is being challenged. So this is more disturbing and this is more stressful. And we see this everywhere. Right is being called wrong and wrong is being called right. And there are even people today that say there's no such thing as right and wrong. You know, whenever I hear somebody say there are no absolutes, I want to say, are you absolutely sure? The statement in itself is an absolute. So every value we've had in Canada is being challenged by some group in some way today. You know, things have been turned upside down and black is white and white is black. This is that and that is this. You know, political correctness has created all kinds of crazy ideas. And in all of this, traditional values are just being set aside. They're just being thrown away. So we now live in a society where everything is plausible and nothing is certain. So that's a sign for our times. Everything is plausible and nothing is certain. You know, I could say Jesus is Lord, and you could say Ronald McDonald is Lord, and they are both equally valid in today's culture. How do you live in that kind of world? When things are getting faster and things are speeding up and life is getting more frantic and everything is much more complicated and all the values that have held families and society together, they're just being thrown out the window. How do you live in that kind of world? God made human beings to be very adaptable, very flexible. We can handle enormous variety in our life. That's why we live in every kind of situation and every kind of climate, especially here in Canada. Humans are very adaptable. But, you know, when everything's flying off the wall, when everything's becoming unglued, you need to have something in your life that does not change. Something that does not change that you could anchor yourself to it. So as we face a new year, you've got to have some things you can say. I know that a lot of things are going to change in 2016. I'm going to experience a lot of unplanned and unwelcome and unexplained changes in my life. But I know that there are certain things I can count on. These things are certain. These things are solid ground. Is there anything like that in the world? My guess is there's some things in your life that you thought were unchangeable, maybe just 2 or 3 years ago, but they've already changed. And they weren't reliable. Is there anything that never changes? Today's sermon for some of you might be a review. For others, it might be a necessary encouragement. For some of you, it might be even brand new. But regardless, what I'm going to say is extremely important. Because if you don't have these things firmly entrenched in your mind, in your thinking, you will have struggles in your spiritual life. In fact, you will be unstable in your spiritual life. The Bible tells us that there are three things that never, ever change. These three things, they are bedrock for your life in 2016. Whatever choice you face, whatever change you face, whatever challenge you face, these things are solid rock for your life in 2016. Number one, God's love never changes. Says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord and I do not change. So there's a theological term for that. It's called the immutability of God. Immutability of God. That's just a fancy way of saying that God has always been the same. He is the same and he will always be the same. God never changes. Why does God never change? Is it that he can't? Is it that he doesn't want to? Is it that he's stuck in his way? Why does God never change? Because he's perfect. And because God is perfect, he can't get any better. And he can't get any worse. So if you're perfect, there's no need to change because you're perfect. So God says, I never change. What that means is that the character of God, the qualities of God, also do not change. So Jeremiah says this, he says, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I've drawn you to myself. Many verses in the Bible talk about the fact that God's love is an everlasting love. An everlasting love is an unchanging love. But the Bible says you're created as an object of God's love. You are made to be loved by God. So you want to know why you're here this morning? You want to know why you are here on planet Earth? The Bible says God made you to love you. You were created to be loved by God. And God's love for you, it's unchanging. It's continuous. It's everlasting. It's consistent. God never gets moody. God never has a bad hair day. God never gets up on the wrong side of the bed. You never hear people say, what got into God today? Because he's not moody. He's always unchanging in his love toward us. The Bible teaches that God loves me just as much on my good days as on my bad days. He loves me when I feel it. He loves me when I don't feel it. He loves me when I think I'm close to him because I'm doing the right thing. And he loves me when I feel like I'm far away from him because I'm not doing the right thing. Because the love of God is not based on my performance. It's based on God's character. And therefore, it's consistent. And it's continual. Because God does not change. So no matter what happens to you in 2016, this one thing you can be sure of, God is not going to stop loving you. No matter what choice or what change or what challenge you face, nothing is going to separate you from the love of God. This is completely different from human love. Human love is quite fickle. Have you noticed that? We love and then we don't. We're hot and then we're cold. I talk to people that say, my husband isn't the man I married. Well, you aren't either. Or they say, I can't figure out my boyfriend. He likes me one day, he doesn't the next. Or my dad is so inconsistent. One day I'm a hero and the next day I'm a zero. I can't figure it out from day to day. Have you noticed how fickle human love is? That's why we have so many divorces, because people love and then they stop. The truth is, some days I don't want to love anybody. Some days I'm grumpy, I'm grouchy. Some days, you know, I take out my frustration on the people closest to me. I don't know why I do that. Why do I do that? Because I'm a human being and my love is inconsistent. The point of the Bible is that God is not like that. It says his love is everlasting and it's unfailing. So that means it never changes. That means you can count on this in 2016, God will not stop loving you. This is important because we always get into trouble when we doubt God's love. Always. But I never need to doubt God's love. There are a lot of things I can worry about in 2016, but I don't have to worry about that one. It says in the New Testament, Romans 8, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. That just means you'll never be loved more by God than you are at this very moment. You'll never be loved any less by God than you are at this very moment. Because God's love never changes. It's continual and it's consistent. And in 2016, that can be an anchor for your life. Number two, God's word will never change. So here I'm talking about the laws. I'm talking about the commands, the principles, the rules that are in God's word, what we call the Bible, about life. Isaiah wrote, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. So he's saying it's timeless, it's enduring, it's eternal. It never withers. That means it's always fresh. So God's word is never out of date. Other ideas come and go. Other ideas are in fashion and out of fashion, in vogue and then out of vogue. But God's word is eternal. It's timeless. You know, when human beings write things, they can get out of date very quickly. You know, our society's changing so fast that I read this week that when they make a textbook, you know, because science and technology and medicine is developing so rapidly, that they'll take 3 or 4 years to make a textbook, and by the time they print it, it's already out of date because of all these enormous strides they're making. That's how fast human ideas get out of date. It's almost funny to look at some of the ideas, like say in psychology, that were true in one decade and proven untrue in the next. So the big shamoozle in academia this past summer was a revelation. You probably read about this, that 60% of the studies published in 2008 in the top 3 psychological journals can't be replicated. That just means that the ideas are not reliable. That just means the ideas are not true. So most of the concepts in psychology being stated to be true in 2008 are not true by 2015. That's pretty amazing. That's a problem. One of the things I was really struck by when I did a graduate degree at University of Guelph, I was really struck by how hard it is to determine truth. That was one of my big takeaways. I thought, These academics, I admire them because they work very hard to try and find out truth. In fact, I had to write a paper. I had to write a thesis on, you know, I had to create a question, answer a question, and I had to find a truthful answer to that question. I thought, how hard could that be? Well, you know, I proposed this as my thesis. I said, you know, kids, young adults are getting married older nowadays, obviously, right? There's lots of research that shows that. So I wondered, because of my, you know, my basis of being a pastor and talking to many people, I wonder if Christian young people get married a little bit younger than their counterparts because, you know, they're exposed to the teaching on sexual abstinence. You know, you can connect the dots there, right? So I thought, that's a fairly straightforward question. How hard could it be to figure out the answer to that question? Well, I found out it's extremely hard. In fact, you know, I had to write this very long and complicated paper, and then my prof said, well, in order to really determine whether your data is valid, we'd have to do regression analysis, so we'd have to book time at this supercomputer to do regression analysis because of all the variables. I thought, holy cow, this is really hard. It's really hard to find truth. It's really hard to determine truth. And that's a problem. If you build your life on popular opinion, even academic opinion, you've got a shaky foundation. Psalm 119 says, I've known from my earliest days that your laws will last forever. So in saying God's laws are, they're not temporary. And that means they're not suggestions. They're eternal principles. Jesus said basically the same thing when he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. It abides forever. You know, no book has been more criticized, more judged, more ridiculed than the Bible. No book has been more banned and more burned than the Bible. Yet it's as relevant today as it was when it was given 2,000 years ago. When the American astronaut Alan Shepard was getting ready to go up into space for the first time, a reporter asked him, what are you depending on in this flight? So his answer is classic. He said, I'm depending upon the fact that God's laws will not change. You know, God has established certain physical laws. We depend on them every day. How would it be if gravity worked every other day? Would that affect your lifestyle? You know, physics and chemistry and all these sciences, they study these laws. They want to figure out how they operate. But if you ignore God's laws, like if you drive your car 100 kilometers per hour and you drive it into a wall, you don't break the law of physics, the law breaks you. And in the same way, as God has established physical laws, he's also established moral laws for the universe, spiritual laws. And he says, this is the way I intended human beings to live. And when we ignore those laws, those moral laws, those spiritual laws, we don't break them. They break us. We get hurt. So when I ignore God's moral law, God's spiritual law, I hurt myself. It causes stress. It causes worry. It causes guilt. It causes anger. It causes conflict in relationship. All kinds of problems happen when I break God's moral laws. In fact, so many of our society's social ills wouldn't even exist if we didn't break those laws. Do you know what the most basic, fundamental temptation is? It's the temptation that Adam and Eve had, and it's the same one you have. Every time you're tempted to do something wrong, this is what's at the bottom of it. When Adam and Eve were tempted by the tempter, he came to them and inquired, did God really say, don't eat from that tree? Did God really say that? He's questioning the word of God. And he only questions some of it, not all of it. Like the old saying, a lie that is a lie can be met and fought outright. A lie that is partly truth is a harder matter to fight. Satan didn't say to them, does God exist? That would be foolish to them. The devil knows there's a God. He knows that you know. So he starts with that assumption. If you start with that assumption, he does not battle you on that ground. Does God exist? Instead, he comes and he asks, what is God really like? Does he really mean what he says? He questions the word of God. That's the basis of every temptation. The first and most basic temptation is the temptation to doubt God's word. You know, there are many variations of that today. One of them goes like this. That's your interpretation. I get this one a lot. It's kind of a funny one. When you see a sign that says stop, how do you interpret that? Pretty clear, isn't it? So when God says, don't lie, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, I think God wants to say, that's not a matter of interpretation. It's clear. But we like to say, that's your interpretation. Friends, that's a temptation to doubt God's word. There's another version that goes like this. I know it says that in the Bible, but that was for the people back in that time. This is the 21st century. Well, God does not invent new rules for each new generation. But he says his truth is eternal. It never changes. So what was wrong 1,000 years ago is wrong today, and it will be wrong tomorrow. It doesn't matter what opinion polls say. It doesn't matter who else is doing it. It's still wrong. And right is still right. And it doesn't matter if people say it's out of date. It's still right. Truth is eternal. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds his house on solid rock. So Jesus is saying, if you want to have a stable home, a stable life is what he's really talking about here. You've got to build your life on an unchanging foundation. If you're going to build a solid life that lasts, it's got to be built on a solid foundation that doesn't change. What's a solid foundation? It's his teaching. It's his words. His word is like bedrock. It's not going to change. I mean, popular opinion is going to change. Psychology books are going to change. Everything else changes, but God's word does not change. So if you want stability, Jesus says, build your life on his unchanging truth. So I just encourage you, as we start a new year, memorize some Bible verses. That would be a great New Year's resolution. It's probably the best habit I could encourage you to develop in 2016, is to read the Bible and memorize some of the Bible. So what you can do is just get a modern translation of the Bible and start reading through the Bible. Start with the Gospels. When a verse particularly jumps out to you, highlight that verse, write it out on a 3x5 card, and put it somewhere where you'll see it all the time and begin to memorize it. You say, well, I can't memorize things. Well, people memorize all kinds of things that are important to them. Sports statistics or stock short forms, all kinds of things. You need to memorize it because when you need God's word the most, you rarely have a Bible in your hand. You know, when you're in the middle of that argument with your spouse or your children, or when you're at work and you're having to deal with a tough, ethical situation, or when you're in a conflict with somebody, you don't usually have the Bible with you then, do you? You think what you read in the magazines or what you see on TV is going to take you through 2016 with confidence and stability? Compare that to the Word of God, which has helped people for thousands of years. So get yourself on a schedule so that at the end of 2016, you're more biblically literate than you are right now. This is a great way to fight temptation. Even Jesus used this. He memorized verses when he went out in the 40 days in the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. The devil was tempting him. Every time that he was tempted, the Bible says that Jesus responded with a Bible verse, and they were all from the book of Deuteronomy. Not a book most of us have memorized. No, he had the advantage that he wrote it. But the greatest tool, the greatest lesson against temptation is to quote Scripture, is to know truth, is to confront that temptation with the truth. And then number three, God's purpose for my life will never change. So this is the third thing I can understand and know confidently. God's purpose for my life will never change. It says in 1 Samuel 15, "And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will he change his mind, for he is not human that he should change his mind." I'm really grateful for that verse. I'm glad for that verse. You know, long before you were born, God planned you. And that plan that he has for your life has never changed. He created you for a purpose. He made you for a reason. If you're here today, you're alive, you're breathing, then God has a purpose for your life. And it's been destined and designed before you were born. Have you noticed how your plans often get changed? Why? Two reasons. One, you can't see the future. You know, I don't have the foresight. I don't have the perspectives. None of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow, much less 10 years from now. And because you can't see the future, sometimes your plans get thwarted by the circumstances that you can't control. And then two, the other reason your plans often get changed is you just don't have the power to pull them off. You have a great plan, a great business plan, but you just don't have the time, or you don't have the money, or you don't have the energy, or the intelligence, or the opportunity. Something happens, and you just can't pull off the plan. I mean, contrast that with God. God never has to change his plans. Why? Because God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. And God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. So God never has to change his plans. It says in Psalm 33, "But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken." That just means whatever's happened in your life up until this point, God's purpose for your life has not changed. Brings up some important questions. Can I miss God's purpose for my life? Absolutely. Millions of people miss God's purpose for their life all the time. You can miss it by neglect. You can miss God's purpose because of arrogance. You want to do your plan instead of God's plan. You can miss it because of disobedience or rebellion or laziness. You can live your entire life and never actually know why you're put on this planet. So you can absolutely miss God's plan for your life. Can I get back on track after wasting years of my life? Absolutely. Some of you may say, well, but you don't know the moral blowout I had 5 years ago. You don't know that terrible decision I made 10 years ago. You don't know all the years I've wasted ignoring God. Regardless of all that, God has not given up on you. No matter what's happened, God has not given up on you. God has no plan B for your life. But you say, well, what about my divorce? What about the abortion? What about this thing I did? God has no plan B for your life. Because his purposes last eternally. It says in Proverbs, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. I mean, there's all kinds of stories in the Bible. I don't have time to get into them this morning, but I gave you all kinds of illustrations of people who were called by God to do something with their life, and then they went and they blew it in some way. They made some terrible decision. They made some terrible mistake, and God still did what he wanted to do with their life. So many illustrations from the Bible. You might say, but what about all those dumb things I've done? What about all those stupid decisions, all those bad choices, all those things that I regret. I wish it never happened. I wish I could go back and have a do-over. Romans 8 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." I mean, underline the word everything in your notes or in your Bible. It doesn't say in some things. It doesn't say in the good things. It says everything. It doesn't even say for everyone. It says for those who love God. It doesn't say all things are good, because not all things are good. There's a lot of evil in this world. You know, I do some of it and you do some of it. All things are not good. The verse does not say that. But what it does say, it says God can take evil and can turn it around. He can bring good out of it. He loves to turn crucifixions into resurrections. He loves to turn pain into productivity. So when you say, Jesus, I want you to take all the pieces of my life, and I want you to give me your peace for my pieces. I want to give you all of this. And he takes all those broken pieces in your life and he makes something beautiful out of them. So think about the biggest disappointment you've ever had, the biggest regret in your life. It still hurts when you think about it. Think about the stupidest thing you've ever done, the most unwise choice. Think about the most hurtful thing that somebody else has done to you. And remember, God saw it before it ever happened. And he's found a way to weave it into his plan and his purpose for your good, for his glory. I mean, what a God. He can take those things that other people, you know, did to you, where they hurt you intentionally or unintentionally, and he can use them for good if I'll say, Jesus, I give you the pieces. It's almost too good to be true, but it is the truth. God's purpose for your life will never, ever change. No matter what you've gone through, whether it was your fault or somebody else's, because God can use it for good, for your good and for his glory. What are you afraid of when you think about the future? What's got your stomach in a knot? What's making those muscles in your back and your neck tense up? What is it you're saying, I don't know if I can handle that or not? Maybe it's a financial thing. What is it? Regardless of what's got you stressed out today, why don't you do what David did in his life? He says in Psalm 56, I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? He says, why should I be afraid? I trust in God. It says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble, so we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Obviously, I don't know what the future holds for any of us. I don't know what 2016 holds, and you don't either. But I do know three things. And I know if I build my life on these three unchangeable facts, I can handle enormous stress in my life. Enormous stress and change. I know this, God will never stop loving me. Even when I feel unlovable, he will never stop loving me. And I know that God's word is always the right thing to do. It might not make sense. It may seem unreasonable. It might be unpopular. It might be out of date, whatever. But it's always the right thing to do because God tells me the truth. Other people will lie to you. God will only tell you the truth. God will never stop loving me, and God's word is always the right thing to do. And I know that God's purpose is greater than my problems. So anytime I start doubting these things, these grand truths, I get myself into trouble. When I start doubting God's love, I start disobeying him. When I start doubting God's word, I tend to do my own thing. And when I start doubting that God has a purpose, I start thinking, why are all these problems happening to me? Why me? What's going on? And I start doubting that God is really in control. There's a verse in the Bible that says, those who trust in the Lord will be like Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance. Saying, your life is like a mountain. You're rock solid because your life is built on the solid rock. That's what we need for the new year, to accept God's law, believe God's word, and to commit to God's purpose, and you'll make it. You do these three things, and you'll have no need to fear whatever will happen in 2016. Let's pray. Would you pray this right now? God will hear you. Dear God, I realize there are many things in my life that are beyond my control. You know that sometimes I have a difficult time adjusting to all the difficult changes around me. And I need your stability in my life, Jesus. I want to start focusing on the things that will never change. And thank you that you will never stop loving me. Thank you so much for that. And today, I accept your love through Jesus Christ. I thank you for your unchanging word. Help me to learn it and to live by it. And thank you for making me for a purpose. In 2016, I want to get to know you better and your plan for my life. And I ask you to forgive me for the years I've wasted. But today, I'm going to get back on track. I open up my life to you, Lord. Come and take control. If you never invited Jesus into your life, just say that right now. Just say, Jesus, as much as I know how, I ask you to come into my life and change me. I want to follow you. In your name I pray. Amen.